This time we continue by hearing the second scripture reading, which comes from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. This is a miracle story involving the apostle Peter. Listen to God's word today. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity, and at that time she became ill, and she died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Now since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was in Lydda sent two men to him with a request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. And all the widows stood there beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Tabitha had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and he prayed. He turned to the body and he said, "Tabitha, get up." And then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and he helped her up. And then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. And this became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain tanner, a man named Simon. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Before I begin this sermon, I want to start with a brief commercial message. The Presbyterian Church USA is proud to be sponsored by the Holy Bible. The best-selling book in the history of the world. In its 66 books, you'll find poetry, history, teachings, and prayer, all suitable for the entire family. When purchasing a Bible, I would recommend getting an annotated or a study Bible. These versions of the Bible are helpful because they contain notes and maps and essays to make sure that you get the most out of your scripture reading experience. So friends, remember, the Bible, it's not just for confirmation anymore. No Presbyterians were harmed in the making of this commercial. Now I hope you take the commercial to heart. One of the biggest challenges we face today is that we live in a secular society. By definition, it's a society in which belief in God cannot be taken for granted. And too often, when belief in God is present, it can exist in a superficial or an abstract sort of way. Belief in God that has depth to it is a belief that is grounded on Scripture. This story of God shaping life, sustaining life, saving life through Jesus Christ, and propelling life forward towards hope and eternal life through the Holy Spirit. When we choose to dig deeply into Scripture, we begin to appreciate how Christian faith offers us a clear alternative to the world's vision around us. And more importantly, it provides a foundation that is neither superficial nor abstract. Our faith story is something able to hold us up when the things around us are crumbling or blowing up or falling apart. Today's story is a good illustration of what I mean. After that first Easter, Simon Peter encountered the risen Christ on several occasions, and his joy about the resurrection turned him into an apostle of the Lord, traveling about, preaching and praying, telling the gospel story to a doubtful world. Soon miracles and wonders began to be associated with Peter, so much so that when Peter was over in the city of Lydda, friends of a recently deceased Christian woman named Tabitha traveled the 10 miles to ask Peter to come back to Joppa and to pray over her body. The woman, Tabitha, was known for her good deeds, for her acts of charity, especially shown towards the widows in the city. When Peter then enters into this room that contains Tabitha, the mourners almost overwhelm him, telling stories of Tabitha's good deeds and showing him examples of her sewing skills. We're told that Peter then kneels down and prays, and then he simply says, "Tabitha, get up." And she got up. Now in Greek, the verb that is used there means that she was resurrected. And that, in a nutshell, is the basic story that's been given to us and handed down for over 2,000 years. Now, what do we take away from this story? Well, it appears to be making three short points. First, Peter is described as a man of tremendous faith. In an earlier part of the book of Acts, in chapter 3, Peter's described healing a lame man who was lying on a mat by the gate called Beautiful in Jerusalem. And now we're told that Peter raises up a woman from the dead. Secondly, the woman Tabitha must have been an important woman in her own right, given that friends of hers tracked down Peter and were anxious to show all the examples of the good deeds she had done during her life for others. And third, the message of faith we're to take away is that Easter resurrection is something that's possible and should be understood as a literal rising from the dead. Now, imagine if you're in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. The doorbell rings, you open it up, and in comes, with a speedy delivery, Mr. McFeely. And he has in his hand then a tape illustrating this story of the Bible, this story about Tabitha. Now, from a straightforward reading of Scripture, I can imagine what would be shown on Mr. Rogers' video monitor about the story of Tabitha. We would likely see images that would impress us about Peter's faith. We would be touched by testimonies about Tabitha's good and virtuous life, and we'd be amazed at this wonder of raising someone from the dead. And yet, that's part of what concerns me. After a brief superficial encounter with this story from Acts, you might then walk back out the doors of this church, shaking your head, saying to yourself, "Well, I'm not as impressive as Simon Peter. I'm probably not as virtuous as Tabitha. And I'm not sure that the story of a literal resurrection, in this case of a woman raised from the dead by Jesus, is going to get a sympathetic hearing when I step outside those doors into a questioning world. Everyone in the world out there, as soon as I move into traffic and move into the city life, is preoccupied with trying to make sense of what's happening around them. They're busy being confronted by poverty and racism, explosions in Texas, poison letters sent to senators, the manhunt and the lockdown after the bombings in Boston. And I would argue or contend that that's precisely why you need a study Bible. Because you need to grapple with what the Bible says. You need to read it. You need to question it. You need to force it to divulge its story, its secrets, and its wonders to you. Because the truth of the matter is this. You cannot fit the ocean into a thimble, and you cannot appreciate the depth of God's word and God's story and God's love from a quick, superficial reading of the Word of God. Let's look at this story again, and let's begin once more with Tabitha. In the book of Acts, Tabitha is called a disciple. Now, a little more digging in the study Bible will reveal to you that that title is the exact same word given to those 12 men who followed Jesus. In that one verse, she is put on a par with the other disciples. And ideally, through that verse, it would put to rest any tired, misogynist views that the Bible considers women to be second-class citizens in the church world. Some folks still haven't got that message. Tabitha is described as a person of good works and acts of charity. And the mourners around her appear to all be widows. Now, in Bible jargon, widows and orphans are meant to be the epitome of the poor. They are the people utterly dependent on others for their survival. So recognize this story isn't taking place in big palaces, and it's certainly not taking place in any first century equivalent of a country club estate. The story, by definition, is pulling us to the margins of society, to a woman of faith whose focus was precisely on the people that everyone else was walking by. The deep message of the Bible is always a message of justice. Not just grief, not just good works, but justice. Justice for those pushed to the margins of life, because that's the place where Tabitha was active, and that's why Tabitha is called a disciple. Now, there's a wonderful moment in this story, as we heard about Tabitha, when Peter is beside her body and the cluster of grieving widows jostles him to show him all the garments and the clothing that Tabitha had made for them. And I must confess, it calls to mind for me one of my favorite images of my mother, bless her soul, who came with my dad to visit me when I was serving a church in Zimbabwe. Now, my mother loved to shop. Her motto was that if a little bit's good, a whole lot ought to be real good. So my mom, dad, and I were leaving some tourist spot in Zimbabwe when we passed a cluster of women who specialized in knitting cotton tablecloths. My mother then, unbeknownst to my dad and I, quietly dropped back just to have a closer look at the wares they were selling. And then soon my dad and I heard her calling our names, and we turned around to see my 5'2" mother smiling while surrounded by a host of Zimbabwean women who were all holding up tablecloths and doilies in a circle around her for her to inspect, anxious that she would make more purchases. And so we ended up squeezing several more items into our suitcases on that trip. Now, I share that because I imagine a similar scene when Peter's standing by Tabitha's deathbed and these women are clamoring for his attention on that day long ago. But a commentator pointed out that if you really look at this passage, the Greek verb for to show in verse 39 actually suggests that the women on that day were wearing the tunics. They were wearing the garments made by Tabitha, not just holding them up like in a public market. Which means that by definition, this disciple had literally given them the clothes on their backs. Which means that by definition, she was an advocate for the poor. She was a worker for justice. She was someone showing love to the least of God's children. And I would wager that in that act, Tabitha has moved from someone that has a personal faith to someone that actually has a political faith. Because whoever cared for someone sincerely in need who didn't work to protect them from the world's injustices? Whoever has given birth to a child with autism or diabetes or multiple sclerosis and then quickly sees their life turning them into an advocate to care for their children's needs? How many have had a friend die of cancer or be affected by depression or post-traumatic stress disorder and then recognize how quickly you're now able to learn more and study more and perhaps call elected officials because the rules are affecting how someone you love is being treated? To be a disciple like Tabitha is not just about good deeds. It means being a worker for change on the margins, to be a worker for justice. Now, shift over to Peter, Hopefully your Bible study would send you back from this story in Acts 9 to the story I mentioned earlier in Acts 3, when Peter met that crippled man by the beautiful gate in Jerusalem. Peter looks him in the eye and he says explicitly, "Gold and silver have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand and walk." Now, when Peter was with Tabitha, Peter does nothing to draw attention to himself, to make a show or production of what was about to occur. In fact, he sends everyone out of the room, and he simply prays. Nothing magical, no special pleading or bargaining with God, just a prayer, and then he says the words, "Tabitha, get up." Now, who does the real work here? God does. In whose name and by whose power does this resurrection occur? Through Jesus. But who is this promise for new life, of healed life, of redeemed and renewed life? Who is that for? It's for all of us. And that's where the deep story of this Bible passage gets personal for us. You can carry the scripture out to the streets, and people may scoff at you and say, "People today are not resurrected. I cannot grit my teeth and believe that your story is true or relevant today." Likewise, you can carry the Bible around town, and people will point to it and say, "It's well and good to have that, but how come there are so many homeless and helpless and hurting people right here in Pittsburgh, the city of churches?" And in the aftermath of the Boston bombings, you heard consistently the worry in people's voices, wondering, is there any place safe anymore in this nation under God? The deeper answer to all three of those concerns is found in the Bible story, reminding us that resurrection is not just about coming to life from the dead. There are lots of ways to be resurrected, and the Bible shares them. Haven't you seen healings of body and spirit in people around you or in your own life? Fresh beginnings, fresh hope. Then that's why it's important to learn more about Jesus and Tabitha's resurrection spirit, so that you'll understand even more. And yes, there are lots of hurting and homeless and helpless people, and it may appear that no one cares. But if you look closer, you'll see people trying to do their best, doing what they can, being Christ's hands and hearts, and they're calling you to stand beside them on the margins and join with them. Learn more about Jesus and Tabitha's resurrection spirit, and you'll understand. And I know there is no place where we feel totally safe. As a culture, we keep expanding our vocabulary of death, whether that involves bombs hidden in gym bags full of shrapnel, or drone planes we fly into other countries that create 100 new enemies for every one supposed enemy they eliminate. And we're fooling ourselves if we don't think that someone can fly a drone plane into American airspace. We've let a military genie out of the bottle with this policy. But the deeper story is that if you give in to revenge, if you give in to fear, if you give in to the lockdown mentality, then you've already lost. Because truth remains stronger than lies, if we have the courage to live by it. If you learn more about Jesus and Tabitha's resurrection spirit, you too will come alive and understand. There is so much in our faith story that's freely available to us through Jesus Christ and His love and His grace. And it's not dependent on us being exemplars, Peter's and Tabitha's, noteworthy in deed and virtuous and wonderful. It's available to us because it's in effect a quiet wonder, as quiet as Tabitha opening her eyes. It's a quiet wonder of God being right here and right before us when we're willing to take even one step towards justice, when we're willing to dry our eyes and seek and pray to see more clearly, when we accept that we're accepted by Jesus, the one whose resurrection opens the way for a manifold number of resurrections for us. That's the story. That's the quiet wonder. And that's the Easter joy given to us. Friends, believe the good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.